if you are a fifth grader or younger, raise your hand real high. Look at this. This is wonderful. And I hope you have your sheets, because tonight, what I want to do is to talk specifically to you. All right, is there anybody in this room, you don't have to be fifth grade and under, who likes like cranes and trucks and construction equipment? Is there anybody in here like that? Shannon Sewell's raising his hand up in the crow's nest. He's doing this right here. I knew he would. Good. Okay, well, pretty soon we're going to see some cool pictures of stuff like that. Do you know that building things is hard work? I mean, it's really hard to build stuff. And it can be messy, too. In fact, when you first begin, it hardly looks like what eventually it will become. 10 years ago this month, this church building, this part of the church building was completed. And many of you who were here and others who are not here now but were then, moved in. But when it first started, it probably didn't look a whole lot like much, certainly not what it looks like today. Before things got going, construction workers had to come in with special equipment, and they had to make a big mess. You see, like where a parking lot used to be and where a parking lot is now, but in this picture, it's just a bunch of dirt. I had to cart a whole bunch of dirt in. Made it pretty yucky for a while. Parking lots were torn up. Dirt was moved. Fences were built to keep people safe from coming in there and getting into things that might hurt them. I guess because now we've seen this building, we sort of know, you know, how it would look. Maybe we can recognize it, but if that's all you saw, it might be difficult to envision the way that the front steps would look, the way it would look when you were driving past it. And look at this. Well, this is this room, but you'd hardly know it. In fact, there's that weird scissor-looking thing in the middle and, you know, whatever that is over there. But this is where I'm standing right now, where these little stairs are. You can't tell what the baptistry is. There's not a pulpit. There are no chairs. It's just raw. It hasn't been constructed yet. But eventually, things began to take shape. The building began to look a little more recognizable. Concrete was poured. Brick was laid. Cranes were brought in. Even that thing on the top, you know, that thing had to be strapped in and hurled up there with some kind of crane. And look how big that thing is over against this man who's standing beside it. It doesn't look so big from down here on the ground when you're looking up at it, but when you see it up close, that thing's pretty huge. Even still, parking lots had to be torn up once the dirt was cleared. They had to lay some pipes and stuff down in there and pour concrete to make all those steps on the front. And eventually, it started taking shape on the outside. But the inside was still not finished. We, after all, we had to have a place to sit down, didn't we? I guess some of you fifth grade and under could have sat on the floor, but the rest of us, well, we could have sat there, but we couldn't have gotten up. We'd just be here forever, I guess. Look at this. These are all the pads that we're sitting on now. And these fellas are unpacking those. And then they had all this special equipment they would use to attach them to the pews and get all the ends done. But finally, the day came. The furniture, the equipment, the songbooks, the Bibles, the lights, the sound equipment. I mean, everything was finally ready. And move-in day came. And they started in the old auditorium that we now call the chapel. And then they moved here. Some of these faces are recognizable. Some of you know all of them. Some of these folks aren't with us anymore. And yet, our church family, here to celebrate the building finally being completed. You know, this church building wasn't built in a day or even a week or even months. I'm sure it was a years-long process. In fact, I've been told that some of the original plans for this structure began way before the 10 years ago mark from today that they finally completed it and moved in, or this month. And yet, we've been here ever since. In Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the whole Bible, the Bible begins with the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when we talk about the beginning, we're talking about the very beginning. I mean, going all the way back, at least as far as we're concerned, to where it all started. The very beginning. And we could think about the process of creation and maybe the way this building came together. And there might be at least one similarity. You know, this building didn't just happen. It's not like they put some bricks out here and maybe a little concrete, a few nails, left it for a little while, and all of a sudden this was here. In fact, there's some parts of this building that had to be designed that we might not even think of. For example, do you know somebody had to come up with the design that's on the ceiling right now? All these little lines and stuff that are running all over the place? I'm told, I think Brother Barry told me that there was a lady who just came up with that in one of the meetings, and they said, let's just go with this. And here it is. See, if something is there, that means somebody had to design it. Somebody had to make it. And then they used that design to make it happen. The fact that we're here, the fact that there are flowers and clouds and grass and animals, that means somebody had to design that. That's not just an accident. Somebody had to make that. But unlike this building, which took months, if not years, to plan and to construct and then to move into, God created the entire universe 6 days. 6 days. There are a few things that I would like for you to know about creation. Now, some of you who have the piece of paper that's in color, there are some yellow blanks, and there are going to be words on the screen in yellow. Guess which words you put in the yellow blanks, right? The yellow words go in the yellow blanks. All right, so you ready? These are some things I want you to know about creation. Now, we read about this in Genesis chapter 1. Maybe you've sung a song before, and the words go something like this. Day one, God made light when there was none. Day two, God made... There are different versions of this song. I'm going to tell you the one I know. Sky and seas of blue. Was that wrong? That's the way I know it. All right, that's day two. Day three, God made flowers, grass, and trees. Day four, sun and moon and stars galore. Day five, God made birds and fish alive. Day six, God made animals and man that day. I guess they couldn't rhyme that one. I don't know. God made animals and man that day. And then day seven, God rested in his heaven. I really like that song because it helps me remember some things. If you are some of our younger kiddos, then you have a matching game at the top of your worksheet that is asking you to look at the picture of something that was created and to draw a line to the number that corresponds to the day on which that thing was made. That's pretty cool. And that little song helped me as I was making that. And maybe it'll help you. All right, Genesis chapter 1 talks about God having created things. And here are some things that I think we can learn. Number one, God is the one who creates. People have the ability to make. Here's what I mean by that. Anything that some person invents, well, they had to invent it using things, materials that God made. But when God started, he started with nothing. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form. Think about what that means. Something being without form. How can there be something that is shapeless? I mean, I guess there are like microorganisms that are probably, you know, somewhat shapeless, or maybe their shape can like move around or something. But, you know, here's everything, but it's nothing all at the same time. God's looking at it and he says, this is without form. It was void and there was darkness over the face of what apparently are some ancient waters that covered up everything, the deep. The Bible says several different times throughout Genesis chapters 1 and 2 that God created. And this is a word that means he brought something new into existence, something new, something that wasn't there before. And every time this word is used in Scripture, it's speaking of something only God can do. Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. God is the one who creates. You might take Legos. Anybody like to play with Legos? You might take some Legos and you might build something. And that's pretty neat. But who made the Legos? You know, the Lego factory, I guess, right? And then somebody had to design those things, and they made them out of what? Like plastic, whatever it is. I know it hurts real bad when you step on it. And, you know, but all of that had to come from somewhere, and ultimately it all came from God. Everything that we have came from God. God creates. People have the ability to make, but we can't create like God can. Here's number two. Everything God made was good. Everything God made was good. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, after God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, God saw the light and he said, "That's good." Six times throughout Genesis 1, we read that assessment from God. In verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, verse 25, and then after he had created man, which was the last thing that he created during creation week, he looked at everything that he had made and he said that it was very good. Genesis 1, verse 31. That's very good. What God does is good. There are bad things that happen sometimes in our world. I wish there weren't. There are sad things that happen. I wish they didn't. But I want you to know that God made things good. So if there are bad things and sad things, I wonder where those came from. They came from Satan, didn't they? When people choose to follow the devil and do against what God wants, that's when bad things happen. But when we focus on God, God works everything out for good. God is able to do good. God is good. Here's the third one. Are y'all keeping up with me? All right, good. God set, this is a little more advanced, all right? But God set natural laws to protect everything he made. Here's what I mean by that. When God was creating everything, he said certain things are going to be this way and certain things are going to be that way, and that's just the way it's going to be. And that's the way it always will be. And that's the way it is. So when I'm reading through Genesis chapter 1, I can read about some of these things. For example, in Genesis 1 verse 11, on day 3, when God made flowers, grass, and trees, I read that God said, "I want the earth to sprout vegetation." I think that means like plants and stuff, right? "Plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind." So you know what that means? You plant an apple seed, what kind of tree are you going to get? You're going to get an apple tree. Why? Because God said, that's the way it works. You plant a certain kind of seed, you get a certain kind of plant. That's just how it works. A little bit later, when God on day 5 was creating the animals that are in the air, like birds, and the animals that are in the sea, like fish. He said, I want you to, Genesis 1:22, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. All right, so a bird builds a nest and lays some eggs, and guess what's going to hatch out of there? Not dogs, right? It's going to be little birds. And maybe, has anybody ever seen little birds in a bird nest? You can raise your hand. That's all right. Yeah, a lot of you have. That's pretty cool. Have you ever heard them doing their little cheep cheep sounds and stuff like that? But you better watch out, because if you're there and mama bird comes back, she's going to run you off, isn't she? She doesn't want you messing with her little baby birds. Well, that's just the way it works. And see, God set these, we call them laws. He put these rules in place so that the animals could continue, well, to have more animals. We can have more birds and more fish. God did the same thing for the land animals on day six. He made it possible for, you know, monkeys to have little baby monkeys and kangaroos to have little baby kangaroos. And he even made it possible for humans to be able to have little baby humans. And that's the way it always works. Monkeys have baby monkeys. And kangaroos have joeys, baby kangaroos. And humans have babies, human babies. And that's the way it always has been, because that's the way God made it to be. These are rules that God put in place. Natural laws to protect everything that he made. By the way, have you ever heard how God made man, the first human? Listen to this. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. And so it tells me a little later, when I get down, into chapter 1 and into chapter 2, that God took some dirt and created man. You were made out of, Adam at least originally was made out of dirt, like dust. That was a miracle. Only God can do that. Humanity began with a miracle, and human life continues by natural law. Okay, here's the last one. Humans are the crown of God's creation. Humans are the crown of God's creation. Think about it. It all started with darkness. And then, whatever was God's will, when he expressed his will by speaking, it happened. I want light, and light came on. By the way, the sun wasn't created till day four, but light was created on day one. I want light. The light came on. Day two, I want the sky and the seas. Day three, flowers, grass, and trees. Day four, sun and moon and stars. Day five, we're going to have the birds and the fish. Day six, we're going to have the land animals. But see, up to this point, now we've got everything here except one thing. There's one thing that God made that's missing at this point, and it was human beings and people. Adam, and then shortly, I guess, thereafter, Eve. And I guess what I'm telling you is, God made this world for humans to live in it. Sure, the birds find a good environment. You know, they can build their nests. They've got the trees and all that stuff. But God made this world for us to be here, for us to enjoy, for us to know that he loves us. So here's a big word I'm going to read, and then I'm going to tell you what it means. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let them have dominion. You know what that means? That means the humans are in charge. That's part of the reason why humans are supposed to take care of things. You know, if you've ever been around a farm, the cattle, they don't necessarily feed themselves. You know, somebody's got to go and feed them and give them the water they need and take care of them. That's because the humans are in charge. See, that we have the dominion. That's also why sometimes if maybe a bug or something sees you or you're near it, it sort of runs away. Maybe certain animals see you and they'll kind of run away. They're scared of you because you have dominion. What else this means is God made humans special. So when God made human beings, He made us different than He made everything else. We're different from the plants, from the planets, from the animals. Because God said, I want to make humans in my image, after our likeness. Let me tell you what that means. I hope you're listening really carefully. God made you special. He made you special. You are really important. He loves you. And we're all supposed to love each other because He made each one of us special, valuable, in His image. He didn't do that with any of the animals. He didn't do it with any of the plants. He did it with humans. And that's why I say humans are the crown of His creation. Okay, why did He do this? Why would God make all this stuff? And why would He make humans as the crown of His creation? I just want to give you three things and then we're all done, okay? You've done great so far. Thank you. Adults, don't you wish I'd do this all the time? You're doing great. Hang in there. It's not going to be much longer. Number one, I think God did all this to remind me that I always need Him. You will always need God. Always. You're breathing His air right now. The body that you have, well, He made it. He gave it to you. We always need God. Number two, God did all this, I think, so that I'll know that He will always take care of me. God is always going to take care of you. I remember one time Jesus was preaching, and He said, have you ever looked at those birds? He said, have you ever noticed that the birds aren't all worried about where they're going to get their next meal? By the way, some of us, you know, you raised your hands, we've seen bird nests. Is there like a kitchen inside of those things or like a refrigerator or anything inside the bird nest? They don't have anything like that, right? So where are the birds going to get their next meal? Do they go to the bird grocery store? Or can they run through like McWormies or something and go get a quarter pounder with cheese? I don't know how that works. All right, so like, if I can't go by and get like a worm happy meal, then what am I going to do? And Jesus says, see, the birds, they aren't worried about where their next meal is going to come from because God provides for them. God feeds them every single day. And then He said, Jesus did. He said, you see those flowers out there? They're not worried about how beautiful they look. They don't worry about what they're going to put on. They've got everything they need. In fact, He says, even King Solomon, as rich and as just, he had everything he could ever dream of and then some. And He says, even King Solomon wasn't as beautiful as those flowers. But see, God adorns them. That means He gives them their clothes, their pretty colors, how beautiful they are. So Jesus says, if God clothes the grass of the field, the flowers that are just here for a little time, and if God takes care of like a little bird, don't you think He's going to take care of you? God wants you to know, and He shows us in creation, that He's always going to take care of us. Here's the third thing. God wants you to know how much He loves you. God wants you to know how much He loves you. All the stars, the mountains, the oceans, the galaxies, everything. Really, all of that was nothing compared to how much God loves His children. And God is willing to move heaven and earth to meet your needs and mine. When you think about it, the beginning, wouldn't you think that, like, there would be more to it than just a chapter and a half? Genesis chapter 1 until about halfway through Genesis chapter 2. We read about Eve being made in Genesis 2, and then the first home, the first marriage there at the end of Genesis chapter 2. But, like, if a human wrote a book like about the beginning, it wouldn't be just like one page long. It would be like 18 volumes long, and all the volumes would be like a million pages each, right? I mean, there would be big books about this. But see, here's the point. God was so brief in telling us about creation. And the reason why is because, yes, he wants us to know that it all came from him, but really what he wants us to know is he loves us. And he's pointing us to that love. God loves you. God is really big. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" Okay, hand, right? The hollow of your hand. Imagine that you're going to scoop down beside like a creek or something, and you're going to scoop up some water in your hand. Now, how much water is on this planet? Well, this planet is mostly water. I mean, think about how big the ocean is. You stand out there on the beach and you look out and you can't see anything but water all the way out. Some of you have been on big boats and maybe you've gone out so far that all you see around you is nothing but a bunch of water everywhere. And Isaiah 40 verse 12 says that God can take all the water in the whole world and scoop it up and put it right in the hollow of his hand, the seas. And it also says that God has marked off the heavens with a span. The heavens are talking about the sky and maybe even space. All right, so a span is kind of like how wide your hand is. And God says, well, I can measure the entire galaxies, all of it, the whole universe. I can measure it just right here in my hand. Okay, we've got the seas, we've got the skies. And then we have the sand. He's enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure. All the sand. And he's weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance, the slopes. The seas, the skies, the sand, the slopes. God says, I can hold it all right here. That's how big and powerful God is. Isn't God great? And it's this great God who made everything around you. And really, at the end of it all, he did it to tell you this. He loves you. And he wants you to love him back. More on that as we continue in this series. All right, kiddos, you did a wonderful job. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking notes. Later, show me those notes. I want to give you a high five for how well you did, all right? But for now, let me talk to all of us again and say this. The Bible really is God's love story to us. It's God telling us, I love you. I made you. You are the crown of this creation. I want you to know me. I want you to love me. And God would move heaven and earth when the need arose, wouldn't he? By leaving heaven and coming to earth and dying for us. If there's anyone tonight who feels the need to respond to that kind of love, we're here to help you. Maybe there's someone here who wants to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his or her sins. Or maybe there's somebody among us who needs prayers for strength, for encouragement, and just let us be a family to help you. Whatever we can do, come to the front if we can help.